KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
So glad to have you tuned in daily, 1 o'clock, your late lunch on ABQ Connect. And before we jump into a full hour with our guest for the full show today, Carla Sontag in studio with Better Together New Mexico. Before we do that, though, I do want to make sure you're aware of three important events to really have on your radar. And I don't think any of them overlap, so you can put them all on your calendar and potentially attend all of them. Now, the first one is more designed for families that have kids in school. A school open house at Christ Lutheran School. They're going to be doing that this weekend, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. They're at Candelaria, just north of Pennsylvania, on the west side of the street there. But, you know, you can go out there Saturday and connect with the staff, enjoy some light refreshments, and really get more information about whether or not Christ Lutheran School is a good fit for you and your family. The website is clsabq.com. Open house, Christ Lutheran School, this Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And then this one, if you listen, whether you've seen this or not, get it on your calendar and get tickets to see Corey Remembers, the true story of Corey Ten Boom. It's going to be at the Jewish Community Center this Sunday after church. It's perfect to, you know, finish up church, maybe go grab a bite to eat, and then head over to see this presentation. It's a powerful one-woman dramatization featuring Susan Sondager. Is in tribute to the legendary Dutch Christian Holocaust rescuer, the late Corrie ten Boom. If you're not that familiar with her, she left a special legacy, really born out of her experiences in the Dutch resistance during World War II and her nightmare at Ravensbrück concentration camp. But a great opportunity to experience the act of forgiveness and really just pressing on through difficult times with the Lord. He doesn't always, you know, rescue us out of the event we may be experiencing, but he will be with us through it. And that Corey Remembers, the true story of Corey Ten Boom, this Sunday at 2 o'clock. You can find details at jccabq.org. That's the Jewish Community Center website, jccabq.org. All right, listen, one more event I want to let you know about. This one is for the entire body of Christ. Now, listen, the event is happening at a brick-and-mortar church. It is for the church, the body of Christ. It's Renew Gathering, a night of worship, a free event with Benjamin William Hastings. And it's happening at Calvary Church on Osuna, west of Jefferson, on Thursday night, March 12th. So a week from tomorrow, 7 p.m., a night set apart for worship, prayer, and unity. A night to step away from the noise, lift our eyes, and gather as one church. A night to be encouraged, strengthened, and reminded that our everyday lives are where faith is lived out and the good news is carried into our city together as the body of Christ working together. It's for everyone, regardless of where you call church home. Everyone's encouraged to bring someone with them, maybe a friend, someone who needs encouragement, hope, or a fresh reminder of God's presence. Come on out to worship and come on out to pray. The Renew Gathering, a night of worship, a free event with Benjamin William Hastings. Details are on the website at calvarynm.church. All right, welcome our first and only guest today into studio. Actually, you could be a guest if you want to ask a question or call in on any of the topics we're covering. You're welcome to do that at 505-338-5790. We're going to be covering some of the things that went through the roundhouse in this last session, but Carla Sontag with Better Together New Mexico, welcome into ABQ Connect.
Well, thanks for having me.
Did you get notes on all those events?
I did.
You know, a lot of great family opportunities, and you know, you guys have events from time to time, we are happy to announce events for. You know, whether it's Better Together in New Mexico or New Mexico Business Coalition or other, if others are listening, they just need to send the details to us at studio@klyt.fm, or just go to our website, klyt.fm. Scroll down on the homepage to events. You'll see a place there to leave details about your events. One event recently, Carla, was another session in the Roundhouse. How did you do?
You know,
I mean, you, not how did, you know,
well,
the state do?
Well, I'm still alive, and that was a victory. I'll tell you, it was a pretty heavy lift this time.
Yeah.
30 days, and, you know, I tell everybody in all honesty, it ages me in dog years, and it felt more like 7 years in that 30 days, but we had a lot of victories. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And there's still some battles to work on. And I'm sure you're going to let us know, you know, ways we can continue to participate.
Yes.
Hey, before we get to the Roundhouse and walking through some of that, we have an election coming up. And actually, we have a primary come up. Some states held primaries yesterday.
Yes.
But you know off the top of your head the primary date? I should know it.
It's the first Tuesday in June, I believe.
Okay. So we're going to get to our primary. And that's part of our being active in the public square, being registered to vote and on, you know, election day. Imagine that.
Yes.
Get out and vote. And we'll get to that either later in the show or on another broadcast between now and the primary. But let's get back to the session and walk through some of what we all experienced, but what you may have experienced more closely than many of us.
Those were days like 7 a.m. until 1 o'clock in the morning. Frequently, we were on weekends. Pretty incredible. But let's talk about all the good news.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of it. Senate Bill 17, Illegal Gun Trade Act, which was really...
It's going to keep gun shops from being able to sell semi-automatic handguns. Is that right?
Yes. And, well, any gun that held 10 or more bullets.
Uh-huh.
And so that kind of wipes out everything that's modern day, right?
Yeah.
So... It was going to, there were some small dealers who said they could not survive that. And it was not just the sales, but the paperwork requirements. Big outrage from New Mexico. I mean, this is at times still the Wild West, but we do have a lot of gun carriers. And so that one went down just in the nick of time. And we were glad to see that. The other really big victory that there were many, many people engaged on was Senate Bill 18. And this one was really an interesting repudiation of the governor, I should say, because what this bill did was put into law, codify her executive orders on the environment, and that was to take us to zero carbon by 2050. It is not physically possible. We don't have the technology where we can stop using all.
I mean cows are enough to make that not happen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So no
meat, no vehicles.
Not to mention all the other stuff. I mean, when it's come to, you know, reducing the carbon footprint of the population here, and the ways that has been brought up, they're pretty unrealistic as well.
Yeah, I mean, it really is not attainable. Now, her executive orders are still in place, and there are still people trying to meet these objectives, but at least it's not in law. And depending on how the governor's race goes, we'll determine how those executive orders continue, if they
do or not. Either go away or maybe get ramped up. I mean, really?
Yes.
So all right. Well, stay tuned.
Yeah.
We're not, that's not all.
That's right. We stopped a gas tax, Senate Bill 76. That was stopped. Senate Bill 70 was universal basic income. That is a big step to socialism. That was stopped. And the House Joint Resolution 3, the Green Amendment, that one was stopped. All really great news. On the other side, we got House Bill 99, which is a fix to the medical malpractice situation. Got that passed.
Yeah, that was really across the aisle, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Big time.
Everyone wants a doctor.
Yeah. In fact, the Republicans have been working on it for about 5 years, and it was not entertained. But this time we had a Democrat who did a lot of research, wrote the bill, There were probably six different bills substituted.
Yeah, it kind of did some ping pong, right? Through different process of getting it done.
Stalls and false starts. But the good news is it's not as good as what she started with, but it is a good step forward to fix the situation.
Good. Health care in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So there might be actually some medical professionals outside the state that, I can go home.
Yeah. I think it's going to be hard to lure back the ones who have left, but maybe we can keep those who are graduating from UNM med school and maybe get others to come in now that there's some caps on that stuff. And we also stopped Senate Bill 261. That was to prohibit guns at polling places. And the real danger of that one was they meant officers as well. So on duty or off duty, an officer could not come in with his firearm or her firearm unless they were asked to do so.
Yeah, this isn't Piccadilly Square.
Yeah. And
right?
With the crazy going on in the world, if you have to stop and wait for somebody to get there and to bring a gun, it might be a little late. So we're just thankful that got stopped. A lot of good news that came out of that. Wasn't all good news. We had some things that we would have preferred not pass. One was the transportation bonding bill. Kind of amazing. It sounds like a good thing. We all know we need our roads fixed because they are a mess. Problem is they put some pretty steep fee increases in that and special fuels tax, which is going to hurt anybody that's transporting goods by truck. So, and that cost comes back to us as consumers. It was really unfortunate. And, honestly, that was kind of a log rolling issue. We've got a law against that, but some people in our legislature don't care about that. So the governor's already signed that one.
Now, in the transportation, and I know you and I may have talked about it and others I may have had on the air, but I've slept since then. Mm. Was there anything in that to amp up how much those with EVs are contributing?
Yes, and that honestly was a good thing because EVs don't use gasoline, so they're not paying the gas tax.
And they're heavy.
They're very heavy.
Yeah, they do a lot of damage. They do more damage than most typical internal combustion vehicles.
Right. And so, yes, there was a fee increase for their vehicle registration. Unfortunately, gas-operated vehicles also had a fee increase, and then there was that tax on special fuels. So everybody got hit in that bill. It wasn't just about the roads, which was unfortunate, but.
All right. And I cut you off before you, I think we went to House Bill 9.
House Bill 9. Immigrant Safety Act. Unfortunately, the governor's already signed that. So that kind of goes hand in hand with where we have a current call to action on Senate Bill 264. So House Bill 9, Immigrant Safety Act, it goes a little beyond what most of us would want. It makes us more of a sanctuary state. They don't use those words, but it doesn't matter. It is what it is. And so while they're doing that, and that has already been signed into law, they also passed. And that was really a direct hit against the president because he is trying to stop so many illegal people from coming into the United States. That was a punch back at him, as was Senate Bill 264. This is an update to the election code, and this is a direct preemptive strike against the SAVE Act. And the SAVE Act is being considered in Congress right now. It's passed the House, kind of stuck in the Senate, but it's to help us with our elections. And it basically says you need to have an ID and you need to prove citizenship to vote. There's 170 some countries that require voter ID.
Well, there's so many other things, what is a big red or orange light, at least about this, in my opinion, is those that are opposed to it are fine with that kind of detail needed for other things.
Yes.
But when it comes to voting, it's duplicitous.
But that's why, there's 176 other countries, I believe, that have a voter ID requirement. And some of these countries are third world countries.
Yeah.
And so if they're smart enough to understand the value of showing your ID, I'm not sure why the United States, who's a leader in the world.
Oh, we know why. Yeah.
Yeah.
we know why. And listen, if you're not sure why, we don't necessarily walk through it here. However, you're welcome to reach out to Better Together New Mexico anytime on these topics, or give us a call, 505-338-5790. Carla and I will do our best to answer your questions. But go to Better Together New Mexico. You got to spell it all out. No NM there. It's Better Together New Mexico. .org. You can always contact them there as well. Carla, we're up against a break.
Ah, quick.
Can you stick around? I think you can.
I think so.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and come back more on reviewing what happened in the roundhouse during the session earlier in the last few weeks. We'll get to that after this on ABQ Connect. Always happy to share with you events coming up in our community. The Man Up rally, the next one at Calvary Church, is March 13th, that Friday. It's the official start time 6:30, but they always say come out at 5:30, get some free food. Details at calvarynm.church. Another thing happening at Calvary for the entire community is the chaplaincy training with IFOC, the International Fellowship of Chaplains. That is slated for Monday, March 16th through Friday, March 20th, that full week, offering a 5-day chaplaincy training. It's an intensive training that provides certification and prepares participants to serve in crisis response and caregiving ministries. Upon completion, participants may have the opportunity to volunteer with crisis caregivers and share God's love with those facing disaster or crisis. We often see these chaplains head to, when things were going on in Rodoso, there was flood and then there was fire. And what a blessing they are to the communities that they serve. But, disasters happen on large scale like that, or, big hurricanes that take out, major metropolitan areas. But, disasters occur in a smaller space, and they're just as devastating to a single person or a family that is in need. And what a great opportunity to be trained up to be a listening voice and someone to bring truth and hope to those experiencing raw trauma and disasters. If you want to find out more about that chaplaincy training for Monday, March 16th through Friday the 20th, go to ifoc.org. That's for the International Fellowship of Chaplains, ifoc.org. Carla Sontag in studio with us with bettertogethernewmexico.org. Carla, you know any IFOC chaplains?
I don't.
I'm acquainted with a few, and God bless them.
Yes.
Anyone can do that. But let me say this. Often on this show, we've had retirement come up as a topic. I think of a discussion we had with Brian Cochran at John Moore Associates, and John Moore, who was his mentor, explained to him the difference between retirement and rehirement. When we're done with our 9-to-5, we get the gold watch, that, as Christians, having that purpose beyond that is our opportunity for rehirement. Something for those to consider that may be entering into that, the IFOC training. Carla is in studio to do much more than to talk about IFOC. She's here to talk about some of the things happening with Better Together New Mexico. And we left off reviewing the roundhouse session, Carla, and we wanted to go back to SB 264, where there's still really some opportunity to take action which I did during the break. So yes. I'll let you tell people what I did and what they can do.
Well, on the website, the very first one is a call to action for Senate Bill 264.
And that's bettertogethernewmexico.org.
Bettertogethernewmexico.org. And we are asking the governor to please not sign the bill or veto it. We'll take a pocket veto without a signature. But that is the one that is directly against the SAVE Act. It's against voter ID and proving citizenship, which we should not have in this state. It shouldn't be anywhere in America. You go to any other country and try to vote in their elections, and it would not go well for you. So we shouldn't entertain it here.
All right. And you can do that again at bettertogethernewmexico.org under the Take Action at the top of the page. Just click on that. And it's actually the first thing to take action on. How long did it take me to do that, Carla?
Oh, 30
seconds?
30 seconds, maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
and I did it on my phone at the same time. So it works well on a computer or on your phone. Easy to take action.
It really is. And, you know, we've said it before. Let me say it again. There's a letter essentially you're sending to the governor that, you know, is pre-done. However, it's editable.
Correct.
You can put it, delete everything, put it in your own words if you want. But it makes it easy to get through and communicate with our leaders in the roundhouse. All right. So there was plenty of action that happened in the roundhouse during the last session. And Carla, some things that no action was taken on.
Yeah, we're still waiting. She could still do it. They passed some legislation for bail reform that will try to help with the catch and release. Again, it's not as good as we had hoped, but, you know, it's a step forward that we've been trying for 7 years to get. So there was also an update on the juvenile crime code to address the issues that we have going on with our juveniles. They need to be in church or at home and not on the streets late at night, creating havoc and murder.
Oh, yeah.
And so this code is a little more strict on the enforcement of laws. And unfortunately, if the kids aren't getting that guidance at home, they need to get it from law enforcement, because they are the growing issue with crime in our state.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need anarchy, you know.
Right.
We need,
So there isn't a reason why the governor wouldn't sign those bills. We're hoping that she will. We don't have a call to action, but people are welcome to call her office and encourage her to take action on those crime issues, because they're very important to all of us.
Hey, before we go to a break, do we have time to walk through the details on HDR 5, the legislative pay?
No, but we could do a brief announcement about the upcoming bash,
because
we have time for that.
And yeah, we can do a brief, and then we'll mention it again later.
Yes. So on Thursday, March 19th, Tramway Plaza, we're going to have food from Cello Grill, and it is delicious. We're going to start 5:30, doors open at 5. We will be hearing from House Minority Leader Alan Martinez and Senator Jay Block. This will be our post-legislative bash. We have put out a lot of information about what happened during the session, but it's always good to hear from legislators. So we have a leader in the House and a senator, so they cover both chambers and they can talk about that. And we'd love to have you join us. We did sell out early last bash that we had. So get your tickets if you want to join us. And you can get those at bettertogethernewmexico.org or newmexicobusinesscoalition.org.
All right. With that, we'll go to a break and come back. And we will take time, right, to walk through HJR 5 legislative pay. That's coming up when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. All right. We're in the midst of a conversation with Carla Sontag with Better Together Mexico. Just go to the website. You got to spell it all out, though. Don't use NM. Go to bettertogethernewmexico.org and find that Take Action tab that we mentioned earlier in the show. But I'm sure you'll find information on much of what we're talking about here today, including, as I kind of teased before we went to the break, details on the HDAR 5, legislative pay. Okay, educate me again. Now, I know what HB and SB is. What's HJR?
That is a House Joint Resolution.
Okay.
And that means that they are going to amend the Constitution. This does not go to the governor. They pass it within the chambers, and then it goes directly on to the next ballot. Okay,
before we go to what they want in an amendment, how much do you have information on what the Constitution, the state Constitution, says now?
Currently, it says that they shall not be paid.
Okay. All right. Which, you know, patriots like Benjamin Franklin and John Adams and others were, I think Sam Adams maybe in there, John Hancock probably, you know, all mm-hmm. those guys. Yeah, that's kind of the rate they were at, right?
Yeah. And, well, now here's the thing. New Mexico, I think, is the only state left in the union that doesn't get paid for the legislators. However, there's more to the picture.
Well, and honestly, I'm not. Yeah, I'd be interested to really walk through not getting paid. So the people. Wow. I mean, and the forefathers I just mentioned. Wow.
Yeah.
But you know what? Regardless of party, I do want to say thank you to those that serve mm-hmm. at. Especially those that really serve at the will of the people. That's something else. I don't know if I even realize that, but yeah, let's walk through this because you've asked, people in your newsletter, right?
I sent out an email yesterday and asked people for their feedback on this, and it's been fascinating, overwhelming opposition to this when they see the full picture. And I think that's what's important, because if you just say they're the only ones in the nation not getting paid, then you think, oh, poor things. But let's look at what they are getting. They have they have the highest per diem in the region. They get $247 per day when they're in session or at a committee meeting in the interim. They get reimbursed for mileage.
Yeah, which now, I don't know, what's that about, 50 or 60 cents a mile?
I think they use the federal rate, which is 70-something now.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Pretty high. But now during session, they only have one trip, so it's up there and back.
Yeah.
That's it. But here's the thing. When you look at the pension, and this is already in effect, they have the second highest pension in the region. When I'm talking region, I'm talking about every state that comes into any contact with New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Texas, Utah, and Oklahoma.
Can't wait. If they're not getting paid, but the pension is in effect already?
Yes.
So you serve for however long. Right now, you do get a pension.
If they serve 5 years,
uh-huh.
when they turn 65, they get a PERA pension, which is the state pension.
Okay.
If they serve 10 years, they can start collecting that at any time.
Okay.
So let's say you have a legislator that comes in that's 25 years old. They serve for 10 years. They can get a pension of, right now, $31,000 a year for the rest of their life. They don't have to wait until they're 65. So a lot of people don't realize this pension. And like I said, it is the second highest in the region. Other pensions, if you compare on a 10-year basis, Utah's at $3,800. Arizona's at $9,600. Colorado, $11,890.
Yeah. You're right. When you look at everything, so they're looking at the salary being the highest in the region and then pensions being amongst the highest in the region. This is kind of like when you're negotiating with someone, you know, hey, are we going to negotiate wholesale to wholesale or retail to retail?
Right.
They are, you know, and then this isn't a negotiation. If this is something that's going through the roundhouse, chances are, you know, if you ask, you know, I don't know, hundreds of people, hey, do you want to get paid more? You vote on it.
Yes.
and actually, I asked you prior, you know, off the air, how did that go with people, you know, on either side of the aisle on this topic of their salary?
Well, you know, and that was another thing that was very interesting. All of the Republicans in both the House and the Senate said no to this amendment, except one. And then we had five Democrats who said no. We had one state representative and four in the Senate who said no, because it's not that I don't think they want money, but they didn't think it was a responsible thing to do. On the salary, look at Texas. Texas pays a salary of $7,200.
Right, where they make up for it is in the retirement.
That
leans one way, where New Mexico leans all up.
But if you look at the pension, Texas is $40,000.
Yeah.
And New Mexico's $31,000.
Right, right.
So we are close to Texas and many times away from other states who are getting a pension of $3,000.
Well, and we're not close to Texas when it comes to the salary. They're getting $7,200 a year.
Exactly.
Where New Mexico is getting like nine times that.
Yes, and then look at the time served. Texas serves 140 calendar days. Our legislators do 30 days, 1 year, 60 days, another year.
Does Better Together New Mexico have a suggestion for this?
Yes. Say no on this, and let's have an honest discussion of what is fair and what is reasonable within the region.
Yeah.
And that is to take into consideration the pension and the per diem, as we did with every other state.
Yeah. And the other thing, I don't know if this is the right way to consider it. Now, you know, actually the states listed here are all kind of not only comparable in region, but in size for travel.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of wonder where the poverty level lands. I'm going to guess New Mexico is at the bottom of the list of these states.
Absolutely.
You know, so you're asking your poverty-stricken population to pay the most in the region.
Right. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, we've got the progressive wing of New Mexico all over this. They want these legislators to be paid. I think we need to have an open discussion.
Yeah.
Because they did not bring up these issues of per diem and pension in particular when they decided on that. Plus, if you follow this, they're basing the salary on the median household income. That's how much the median household, no matter how many breadwinners.
New Mexico is basing it on that.
That's what they're
clearly these
on.
Other states are not.
No. And why would you base it on a household? It should be on an individual basis.
Yeah.
And again, they're only working 30 or 60 days in session, and then they've got some interim committee meetings. Now, granted, some of the legislators go to all the interim committees that they're on.
Yeah.
Some don't. But the other thing that I said is, well, if we're going to do this, can we have a job description? If you're paying somebody else a salary, you got a job description, and they've got certain criteria they need to meet. And, you know, so it's up to the voter.
You know, and I'm thinking, biblically, where does this, and the only thing that comes to mind is, you know, since, you know, they represent us, and we should be holding them accountable for how they represent us, and we do that at the ballot box, that we should be encouraging them to be good stewards with the resources provided to them in like, you know, like you've mentioned, a sensible way. And it's probably something you want to take time to communicate with your representatives about and or state senators. And that, again, is JR 5, legislative pay. Did that land in the Action Center?
No, that's because this is going to be on the ballot in November. So we will be working on that coming up. But, you know.
Oh, so we are voting on it.
We are voting on it in November.
Okay.
But all we're having the conversation now because people need to be aware of this because they're not. It was one of those stealth things that went through the legislature. Definitely the Republicans were against it, except one, and there were some Democrats. But the public is going to vote. they need to have full knowledge and awareness. So we're going to get this diagram posted on our websites so you can go see the research that we did on the surrounding states and look at where we fall within the region.
All right. Listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Carla Sontag for the full hour today from BetterTogetherNewMexico.org. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect. All right. Full hour today with Carla Sontag. We've got about 10 minutes, and we'll get back to all things Better Together New Mexico. But I did want to take a little time to remind you, you know, we've mentioned a few events that are happening here in our state here in the coming weekend and the coming week or so. Later in the month, another open house at a Christian school. It's Axiom Christian Classical. They're on Lead west of University. You may be remember years ago where they're located. There's actually Gary, the Calvary pastor that's up in Calvary East now. They were in that property for years on Lead. But Axiom Christian Classical are having an open house. They're in that property now. It'll be Thursday, March 26th at 9:30 in the morning. You can come by, visit with the staff, get answers to questions about your child's education. Find out if Axiom's a great fit for your family. AxiomClassical.org for details on that. Way out in the East Mountains, always appreciate these guys. Month after month, they're going through you know, one night a month, they do a meal and movie night at no cost. You know, I don't know if it's a spaghetti dinner or what, but hey, it's a free meal and fellowship. But more importantly, walking through various episodes of The Chosen. They continue to go through that series out in Edgewood. East Mountain Vineyard Church is doing that. They pick a Friday each month to do it. And in March, it'll be Friday, March 27th. At 5:30, so you can share a night with friends and family as you watch that episode of The Chosen and enjoy a free meal and fellowship. Look for it on their calendar on their website for East Mountain Vineyard. It's EMV, East Mountain Vineyard, emvnm.org. All right. Carla Sontag, Better Together New Mexico. We just couldn't stop talking about the HJR5 legislative pay that'll be on the ballot in November. If you're a numbers cruncher, let me just say this, because we could continue to, you know, we could finish the show crunching numbers. If you're a numbers cruncher, when Better Together New Mexico puts this chart up on the website, just go digest it and go, oh, the guys who wrote this for pay for representatives in the Roundhouse, they want it all.
Yeah, they do. Much more than
and actually, one of the things I do want to share is, you know, my dad served, and many others have served our military for a long time, some 10, 20. Dad was over 30 years of service. And the amount that he got in retirement proportionately, he got a lower percentage than what they want to do with this in New Mexico. In New Mexico, the salary is set, you know, it would be set at 67. Currently, they don't have salary.
Right.
They probably have per diem and
pension.
And gas.
Pension.
Yeah, and the current pension is where it shows here at $31,000. But $67,800, and if you serve over 20 years, you get $62,000. Now, I didn't do the math, but that's more than 75% pension.
Mm-hmm.
So just some number crunching to do when this goes up on the website. Do what you can to share that, too, in social media so others are seeing it.
Well, and keep in mind two things. One is it's based on the U.S. Census Bureau establishing the median household income. So they want to pay each legislator the median household, what some households in New Mexico make in a year. The other thing is it's higher than many of our teachers. And, you know, when you think about that, plus the fact that they work 30 days 1 year, 60 another.
It's more than many of our law enforcement.
Yeah.
So, let me say this, okay, because we're going, I feel like I'm going on and on about, you know, if it sounds like I'm saying don't pay them anything, you know, pay them in sand. There's plenty of that in New Mexico. Listen, I understand the Bible reminds us that a workman is worthy their wage. Do not muzzle the ox.
Right, but this needs to be a conversation where New Mexicans are involved. It needs to be out in the open, not in the dark of night, the way they passed it through the legislature. And so our recommendation is that we say no and go back to the drawing board and consider all things, the pension, the per diem, all of that. And what we're comparing to, how much time they put in compared to our teachers and our law enforcement.
Yeah. Well,
I think
it's
only fair.
Yeah, think about, I mean, I don't know if this is the right illustration, but hey, Dad, can I borrow the car keys? As opposed to, hey, Dad, can I have the car and the house?
Exactly. But you know what? So we're talking about our military and first responders, and I just want to share, we're going to have our annual Heroes event.
Yeah.
We have...
Which, by the way, is on the website. If you want to find out about these events, go to Better Together New Mexico. Then at the... there's a place for you to go find out more about the various events that are happening, including the bash tickets coming up for the event you mentioned earlier. But I interrupted. I'm excited about this September 17th event. Not only about recognizing the heroes... but to hear from some heroes.
This is going to be, well, it's always such a touching event. We recognize the Veteran of the Year. That's where this started. But then, sadly, in New Mexico, we have lost first responders in the line of duty. And we pray we'll never lose another one, but we've lost one this year. And that was Bernalillo County Sheriff Department Sergeant Michael Schlappman. Was killed in the line of duty, and so we
it was just a few days ago.
Yeah, we'll be recognizing or remembering him, his memory, and recognizing his family.
Hey, a lot of people may not realize this. He had retired. I think he may have served military or elsewhere in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. But this was after retirement.
Second career.
Yeah. His memorial, I think, was day before yesterday at the Rio Rancho Events Center. Better Together New Mexico and New Mexico Business Coalition continuing to remember his service.
Yes, and the good news is we will have former U.S. Congressman Lieutenant Colonel Alan West as the keynote speaker. I have had the pleasure of hearing him speak, and he is amazing. He's got a great sense of humor, but more importantly, he has such a keen sense of service to the country, and it will be very honorable to have him here in Mr. Schlappman's recognition. So we hope you'll join us. We'll have ticketing up on that soon. Right now we've got ticketing for the bash, the post-legislative bash, which is on March 19th, Thursday. It's coming up and it will sell out. So food is with Cello Grill, very good Mediterranean restaurant, and we know you'll enjoy it.
All right. And again, the place to find, now, is that available on both websites?
The bash is, we don't have ticketing up for the heroes. I just wanted to mention it in the honor of...
Yeah, but it will be.
Our loss,
It will be, yeah.
Very soon.
Okay, and for those that, we brought you in, we mentioned both organizations. For those not familiar with, at least some of the time, we have at least a minute, walk through Better Together New Mexico and New Mexico Business Coalition.
New Mexico Business Coalition... NMBizCoalition.org, we are focused on business policy to try to help businesses thrive and grow and create jobs so everybody benefits. Better Together covers a lot more issues. We cover social issues. We work with pastors and faith leaders, informing them about what's going on in the Congress and in the state legislature so that they can inform their congregation. Our goal in both is better policy and getting New Mexicans engaged to vote, because that's how we're going to change the state. And we all recognize there is plenty of room for change and improvement in New Mexico.
Yeah. And, you know, when we get close to the elections, the last couple, there have been voter guides available at websites. So watch for that. By the way, we mentioned earlier, June will be the primary. It's June 2nd. We're about, you know, a little less than 90 days away from the primary. Get registered to vote, and please vote on the primary and the general election in November. Carla, thanks for your time. Let's do this again.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.